Okay, we'll move along to Oregon coach Chip Kelly. Coach is online. The Ducks are on the road at USC this Saturday. We'll go ahead and take questions for Coach.
Your first question comes from Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com.
Chip, how are you?
Good.
Question about over the years as Oregon has, I guess, risen to prominence nationally and gained more notoriety in the Pac-12 region. I wonder, what have you found with the reception that you get from prospects that you're going head-to-head with against USC? When you guys are in California, do you receive a different reception now than perhaps what you did a few years ago?
No, since I've been here as an assistant coach since 2007, I think Oregon's been a significant program in the country, and we've had great receptions everywhere we've been.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from Ted Miller, ESPN.com.
Chip, you've seen a lot of Matt Barkley throughout his career. What has he most improved on since he was playing as a true freshman?
I just think he's got a great understanding when you watch him now of everybody, where everybody is. He understands, you know, and that's the maturation that goes on with a quarterback. Usually you get your first two reads, and then you kind of figure out where everybody is. Then you really understand protection, and he's really, you know, kind of like a coach on the field now in terms of getting them in the right protections and always knows where his checkdowns is. He's just a real has really grown as a cerebral player and just understanding that system. He's a lot of fun to watch.
And you guys haven't been in any close games in the fourth quarter this year. Do you do anything specifically in practice to kind of duplicate the atmosphere or the types of things you have to do when you're playing a tight game in the fourth quarter? Obviously you're always up-tempo, but is there anything specific to playing in the fourth quarter you guys do in practice?
Yeah, our practices are very consistent, Ted. You know, we run two-minute drill every Monday, every Wednesday. That hasn't changed, you know. Whether it's end of the half, end of the game scenarios, we practice four-minute offense, how to run the clock out, and, you know, with the game clocks out there and trying to work the clock in all those other situations. So all the game situations that occur in a game, we hit during practice during the week on Monday through Friday.
Great. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Reed Forgrave, FoxSports.com.
Hey, Coach. Pretty busy space at the top of the BCS standings. I wondered if you wished that this was the year they were implementing the playoff.
No, not at all. I mean, we're just worried about our game against USC. I think if you get caught up and start to worry about what your ranking is in week two or three or what the BCS is, then, you know, you're devoting your energy to something that, you know, really means nothing. The only time those rankings matter is in December, so.
This game will affect the way that rankings are in December. Do you coach this game any differently knowing that you're not just playing to win?
Nope. We're playing to win, just like we play every game. We coach to win.
Cool. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from Mark Fell, Wear Radio.
Hey, Coach, how you doing? I just wanted to ask you just a few questions about this new practice philosophy and this very up-tempo, high-speed offense that you brought to your practices. So when you first came to Oregon in the year 2007, where did you find this up-tempo, high-speed approach that you brought to your team?
We didn't really do it then. I wasn't the head coach, so, you know, we just practiced, kind of similar to what they did here. We changed the pace a little bit, but that – you know, none of how we totally practice changed until I became the head coach here.
So when it did change at that point where you became the head coach, I mean, this new philosophy that you have right now, I mean, it translates from the practice field going onto the field during the games. What do you see right now specifically that makes your team so effective with this approach where, I mean, from stories that I've read, I mean, you're running maybe like close to 30, 35 plays in a 10-minute span. Just from the general perspective, why do you see that as so effective for your team and to operate your team as it is?
I just think our players buy into to what our coaching staff is teaching and coaching, and we think we're a lot more efficient. We get a lot more reps in the course of practice, and obviously that pays off for us on Saturdays.
And just a couple other questions. You mentioned that obviously your players buy into this as well. Has there been a dramatic change, I suppose, in terms of, like, since you started this, when you had to have your players and coaches adjust to this new style? Was there a time where, you know, players and coaches had to get used to it, whether in terms of, you know, changes in conditioning, for example, hydrating for that matter?
No. I mean, they've always done that here. We've always been conscious of hydrating no matter, you know, what the style of practice it is. So, you know, I think our players understood what we wanted to get accomplished, so did our coaches, and we just went ahead with it.
And final question for you. This new approach that you have taken, do you think that, you know, we may start to, in the grand scheme of things, going forward in the next 3 to 5 years, do you think that we may start to see an approach maybe similar to yours taken over, or at least, you know, parts being taken by other teams around the country? And is this kind of like a new direction that we may see some more offenses go within the next, I don't know, maybe 5 to 10 years or so?
No, I think it's not a new approach. I mean, a lot of people have been doing this for a long time. You know, the Cincinnati Bengals ran a no-huddle offense under Sam Weish in the 80s and the 90s. And you know, the Buffalo Bills under Jim Kelly and as a quarterback and Marv Levy as a coach ran a no-huddle up-tempo approach. And I think they used to call it the K-gun. So other teams have done this, you know, way before we've done this. So I don't think it's a new approach.
Great. Thank you very much, Coach.
No problem.
Your next question comes from Bob Clark, the Registered Guard.
Chip, about half of USC's opponents have had their season high for penalties when they played the Trojans. Any concern in that matter that that's an impact on this game?
Penalties are an impact on any game, and they're always a concern no matter who you're playing, whether it's USC or Colorado or whoever is next up on the schedule. So, you know, you always are coaching and trying to make sure that guys understand the impact of negative yardage plays upon our success. So, but because it's USC, not specifically them, but, you know, against anybody, you know, the penalty battle is something that's a constant thing for I would say, not only us, but any team out there in the country.
Your next question comes from Adam Gorney, Rivals.com.
Chip, we know you like to recruit speed guys. It fits your system on both sides of the ball. But how much does toughness go into that kind of equation when you're looking at guys that has to be the perfect mix of that speed guy, but he also has to be pretty tough, you know?
Everything goes into it. There's not one thing that stands out over another, you know, and I think that's a popular misconception. I mean, you take a track kid who runs 10 flat but doesn't want to get tackled or get hit, he's not going to be a good football player for you. You know, we're looking for football players first and foremost, and we believe we got a system that can, you know, accentuate their speed. We've got a great strength and conditioning coach that improved their speed while they're here. But, you know, you just can't look at a kid and say, hey, he's fast, let's take him. And then I know he's not tough, but, you know, you can't teach him that. So I think you can improve kids' speed, but you can't improve kids' toughnesses.
Thanks, Roger.
Your next question comes from Bud Withers, Seattle Times.
Chip, does the name USC seem to stir any extra passion in your guys?
No, I mean, not to diminish them, but we take every opponent that we play as, you know, is the most important game we play. And I know that sounds boring, but it's the same thing for this group. You know, whether we're playing the Huskies or whether we're playing Oregon State or whether we're playing USC, I mean, they're all conference opponents. They're all conference games. And if you want to get to the top of this conference, you got to take care of your business in the conference. So, like just like we don't talk about rivalry games because everything's a rivalry game, you know, we can't look at say, hey, we're going to put more emphasis into this game against SC than we would against somebody else. You know, in college football nowadays, the playoffs started in the first week of September. And when you lose, you're kind of eliminated from the playoffs. So, you know, for where we are as a football program right now, every single game we play is huge.
And to follow up, maybe you just answered this, but DeAnthony Thomas going home this weekend for the first time in a game, going back to L.A., do you suspect this is special for him?
You know, we already went back there in the Rose Bowl. You know, we were back in L.A. for actually a week of practice and then a game in L.A. So, you know, I haven't talked to him specifically about going back home, but I think he handled that experience well. So it didn't even dawn on me until you asked the question.
Thanks.
Okay, that'll do it for you, Chip. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks,
we'll see you. Bye.